Welcome back to the mix, everyone. I'm Warren. That's Alardo.
Hi.
Sup? And this is the first episode of 2024.
Woo!
Well, wait, where's
Can do that again. Do that one more time.
This is the first episode of 2024. Yeah. Good start. And I'm also a little bit under the weather, so excuse my nasally voice. But here we are on episode 79. That's a lot of episodes.
All right.
This is a horrible start.
Thanks. But,
yeah. Here we are. So today we have, all right, I don't think we previewed this anywhere. We didn't really, like, say anywhere what we're doing. So what we're doing right now is Saltburn, Maestro, and May December, and then we're gonna recap 2023 a little bit with our official top 10 movies lists of 2023.
Official.
And, yeah, very official. And then we'll round it out with some little discussion questions, little fun discussion at the end. I couldn't think of a synonym for discussion, but anyway, this is a rough intro. Let's just get into the first one, which is Saltburn. I was specifically advised to not watch this on the plane, and then I watched it, and then I realized that that was great advice because I should not have watched that on the plane. But what were your thoughts on Saltburn, Alardo?
I mean, you want to go first? Because it's kind of fresh for you. I watched it last year.
Okay. Yeah. So it's cool. It's a good movie because, like, I went in and they kind of set you up to think, like, this is a normal character and weird shit is going to happen to him. But that's not really how it goes. Which is great for me. Like, there's a math kid in the beginning that really sets it up where, like, I maybe you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I was like, wait, I think the math kid is just there to make him seem more normal by comparison. Like, I could be wrong about that, but that was my impression at the end of that.
I also knew more about the movie, though, going in, I think. Also, that actor, that main guy, shoot, my internet is so bad. Okay, I've seen that dude's movies before, and he's usually the weirdo in his movies. So I expected him to be a weirdo in this movie.
That's true. He was the Joker, right?
Yeah,
the most recent Joker.
Mm-hmm.
That's I think that's the only thing I know him from.
Eternals, but he's not really.
Oh,
weird
yeah,
in
Eternals.
That.
I forgot. But he's not weird in that. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I thought he was just, like, the type of dude that might do a weird movie. Like, I knew it was going to be weird, but I didn't know he was going to be weird. Mm. Yeah. But overall, like, super interesting. Had me the whole way. Sometimes really disgusting, though. So,
yeah.
It's kind of like...
See, that's the thing. Like, I don't honestly remember anything but those, like, weird scenes, and I think that's probably a knock on the movie, right? Because if I can't remember anything else, then it's like,
yeah, that's true.
I know, that's the thing too. I feel like I just seen it before. It does feel original, but I also feel like I've seen this before. Like, this person is, like, ruining this family and is trying to take over. Well, I kind of just spoiled it, but
the movie that I thought of was, like, kind of like Parasite a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it was kind of different. I mean, it was different enough for me anyway. go ahead.
This is a movie that, like, people either, like, really love or really hate. And not even, like, the Bo's Afraid sense. Like, Bo's Afraid is different because that's just, like, either you think that's a masterpiece or you think that's, like, what the but this movie is different in the sense, like, people either, like, think it's, like, I don't know, it's like they think it's pretentious. They either think it's, like, trying too hard, or they think it's, like, it is hitting those marks. But I don't think it was trying to be, like, like an Oscar worthy or like trying to be prestigious either. I think it's just trying to be a movie that's like trying to, it's like a thriller, like a, like straight up, like,
Yeah.
yeah.
It
I
was
think
a
that's where some
thriller.
people are like getting it wrong.
Yeah.
It's not trying to
Yeah,
have
that's
like
true,
any deeper
'cause
meaning or like a commentary on like social class. I don't think it's trying to do that at all, honestly. Even though it's like a lot of it is like, oh, the rich people and he, yeah. But I
Yeah,
don't
no,
think.
I didn't get that sense either. But I think it was really cool. Or yeah, it's a good thriller in that like it had me not really knowing where we were going next until pretty much like the very climax of the movie. Like the whole time I was trying to guess like, okay, what is he trying to do here? And I didn't really fig like it didn't really come together until the end for me, or until late enough in the movie where I was like already interested, So yeah, had me on the edge of my seat
I
almost the
think
whole way.
I thought it was interesting in the way that's like 'cause no, yeah, they've been making like a lot of F rich people movies now, like yeah, like Parasite. That wasn't really F rich people, that was more of like a nah, it kind of was. Triangle of Sadness is another one though, and then the Knives Out movies are also like are like F rich people. Oh, The Menu's another one. So I thought this was a good like different version of that, where it's like an exaggerated version, like the worst person that'll be like F rich people is that guy. Is like he's like the most exaggerated, heightened like hyperbole version of that. So I thought that was interesting in that sense, but I don't know. It didn't really affect me, even though those scenes were like crazy and weird and gross. I don't know, 'cause it's just
Yeah,
like,
there's
yeah,
some.
his character would do that, but okay.
There's some weird shit in
I
there,
did like the
man.
ending
Like,
though. That ending scene was really
oh
cool.
yeah, I liked it a lot too. But man, that grave scene, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I
Yeah, I
didn't
told you that was
enjoy
improvised,
it.
yeah.
Yeah, it was improvised too. I was like, what? You had the idea. Like, nobody. It's one thing for somebody else to be like, okay,
What
this is what you need to do on the grave. But then
was
he kind of volunteered.
I just feel like he needs to do it right now. It's like that's who he is. He would do that. What kind of
That.
tone would you use to approach that? Like how you like not sound too creepy or like, I mean, well, okay, yeah, it's different because directors and actors are like built different because they're supposed to like think that way, but yeah, it's
It
just
had
funny
to
to
be
think
like
about.
how you originally texted it to me, like, oh, I'm gonna try something different this take or something.
Doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
Just keep the cameras going.
Because like, how do you like say this is what I'm gonna do? Like, there's no way.
If that's how it happened, and like he pulled out his pants, and they're just like, "Whoa, wait."
There's that and the bathwater scene was
Yeah, that's the one
and it
everybody's talking
lasted
about.
like it felt like forever that I was watching that too, like that particular part. It's like he's slurping for like 20, 30 seconds, it feels like.
It's kind of funny how I always say that, like, oh, this is why we watch movies, to see like stuff that you wouldn't want to see. But like,
I don't
I don't really say that for this movie, because
I
it's just like,
was gonna say
okay,
yeah.
all right. I mean, it's fine, because it makes sense for his character, but
Yeah, it
yeah.
was just kind of disgusting, but okay. Well,
That's the
it
thing
does.
too.
Oh, go ahead.
Was that like, you know how it kind of did like a reveal at the end?
Yeah.
Like it did a Puss in Boots reveal with like Humpty Dumpty. You remember that?
Yeah. Of
Like,
course I remember that. What do you mean? Anyway.
was that like, I don't know why they even did that, 'cause it's like, I didn't, for me personally, I didn't think he, it didn't tell me anything new. I was like, oh yeah, okay, he did all this, like,
That's true. Yeah, like he
you
was
know what I mean?
narrating the from the beginning and stuff. It didn't have to be that way. It wasn't no Puss in Boots, but
But then again, when you think about like how what I just said, where it's like it's not trying to be this like, oh, like flashy blah blah, it's just trying to be this like straightforward, like this guy takes over, then it kind of makes sense. But
Yeah,
kind of
that's
from the
true.
beginning I knew, I was like, oh well, never mind, he says it. So like, he kind of says it where he says like, oh, you guys just think it's co it's our a coincidence ha coincidence has happened or something. He says something like that, right? But yeah, I was gonna say like when he first did that thing with the bike, I was like, come on. Like I already knew that. I was like, that wasn't, you did that shit on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would watch that movie again, but it was interesting. What would you give it out of 5?
The solid 3.
Yeah, I'm at a 3 too. I'm just gonna go through. Ah, I don't remember what I gave it on Letterboxd. I feel like I went 3.5 maybe, actually. Because I did enjoy, like, the story of it and the weirdness, the general weirdness of what's going to happen. Because, like, I thought the house was something messed up was going to happen to him in the house or something, which is, like, not how that went. But, eh. yeah, I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it. It's just, man, there's just certain scenes.
Where now that you bring it up, honestly, I think that's why it was, like, because I was trying to remember, too, like, why did it not, like, affect me as much? But I remember now. It was because it wasn't trying to paint the rich people as victims. But in a sense, I still feel like it wanted you to feel bad for them, and I didn't feel bad for them at all. Hmm. Like, because it's still fucked up what happened to them, but...
Right.
I was just kind of like, eh. Like, I mean, yeah. You know.
I mean, I felt...
Sucks that happened, but...
Yeah, I mean, because
okay, I remember now. They really were trying to like rub it in, well, like the morning after when they're like having breakfast, and I was like, during that scene, I was just like, okay, yeah, like I don't feel that bad, like. But then the movie was like, look how sad they are.
Yeah,
I guess they are, but I still don't really care that much.
Yeah,
I think that's what it was though. Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just feel like I got where like. I was anticipating, I don't know, the twist really got me, you know, because, like, there's the lady, random lady in the beginning that's, like, randomly leaves or disappears, and it's like, oh, they did something to her, like, that's what you assume, and then there's the math kid, and there's other stuff that happens that's like, this family's a little quirky, you know, but then it's, yeah, I kind of just spoiled it, but, or, no, anyway, I mean, watch it for yourself.
I'm sure if you watch it, I'm sure if they listen to us and still watch it, they'd still be quite shocked as to what they're going to see.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. anyway, so go give that a watch. It's on Amazon Prime Video now. So if you have Prime, go give that a watch. Let's see. Oh, we got Justin in the chat here. What's up, Justin? Shout out, Justin. I benched 315. Hey. Anyway, okay, moving on. Let's go to Maestro. This is Bradley Cooper's directed movie.
Second movie, yeah.
Second directed. What was the first? Oh, A Star is Born, right?
Oh. Shala, yeah.
Shala. Yeah. But, yeah, so Bradley Cooper directed it. It's on Netflix. I've seen a couple tweets just calling it, like, Oscar bait. Which is kinda that mean. Is that an insult? Like, what's
it's an insulting insult. About? Like, that? Oh, they're just making this because they're trying to, you know, get awards and like pretentious is like, you know, again throwing that word around.
So they're not making like, it for
the. So that's like it doesn't mean anything.
It's yeah, just like just I like, want an Oscar.
Kind of. That's kind of like his personality right now too. Oh, well, that's the personality everybody's giving him. I don't know if it's true. Do you see these pictures of him where he's like he looks really mad when like somebody else wins an award?
No, I haven't
they're
seen
like say, they're saying he looks like Homelander. You know how like Homelander always looks
Oh,
like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know if how true that is, because, you know, I don't know if we can ever find out, because it has to come from him himself, but... I think he's going to get it someday. Honestly, he's a damn good director. Like, it's really... I don't think people know how, like, hard it is to, like, make scenes so, like flow so well and have, like, a nice rhythm and, like, the actors also have to feel real and, like, all these things going on. And... It's only his second movie, and this movie, like, seemed like, if you didn't know it was, like, from Bradley Cooper, you'd assume it's, like, from another, you know, like, high-end director.
Yep.
So he's gonna get it someday. I hope he knows that, like, it's just, last year was loaded, like, yeah.
Yeah, so, when are the Oscars, by the way?
I think they're supposed to be next month, to be honest, but...
Okay, good. We'll talk about it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I liked... Okay, well, let's go back to this movie.
This particular movie.
It's funny because, like, he's wearing... So the opening scene is he's wearing all this, like, he's old.
Yeah,
he's
that looked good.
This old makeup. It looked good, but I knew it was Bradley Cooper right away.
It's Bradley Cooper, though.
It's like, what? It's still Bradley Cooper. Even though he's got, like, the nose and stuff going on, it's like...
It's always the hands, too. I look at the hands. Whenever they make, like, old makeup, I look at the hands and I'm like, nah. Nah.
For me, it was like, I don't know, I think it was his eyes. Like, he has very distinct, like yeah, sharp he does. Eyes. And it's like, oh, that's Bradley Cooper.
Also, that nose, you know, that's not his nose.
Yeah, and there was like some controversy about it. Or,
yeah,
I don't. I read like, oh, some people didn't like his nose, basically. Mm-hmm.
And then the real person that he was playing, his family was like defending him. So
yeah, because like if he doesn't have the nose, then he's just like old Bradley Cooper. Even more, I'm taken out of it, you know. But yeah, what were your other initial thoughts?
No, yeah. So like the first half, I really like when I catch myself. Like the first half, I'm just like kind of slogging, you know, a little bit. But then I caught myself like, okay, no, this is probably super necessary because the whole like first half is like black and white, and it's like their relationship, right? Like how they meet, and then how like the start of the relationship starts off. So, and then I really like the dialogue because he's trying to make it like, or I, my opinion, he's trying to make it like an old like 1950s, like they have this like, well, that's the time, it like probably like the time period in the movie, right? And then mm-hmm. like their back and forth is really nice. It felt like a movie, like an old movie I'd watch. And but I will say the first half did not reel me in as much as the second half. Once it turns to like mm-hmm. it's not black and white, it's in color, and there's like actual conflict in the relationship, then like things are starting to move, you know.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, but I did like that first half though. No, like, it was like super necessary though, like actually.
Yeah, like
if you took anything out from the first half, the second half would not work as well.
Yeah, that's true, but it was I was kind of dragging through it, man. Like, okay, so like the first 5 minutes, it's like, oh, they're doing a 1950s accent, like this is kind of interesting. The
dialect.
It yeah. gets old kind of quick, though, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was like, all right. It's almost like cartoony at this point. I don't know. I wasn't super into it, but I just got tired of it quick, basically. But basically, like you're saying, the first half was a little bit rough. I'm not super reeling. I don't know what it was about it that's not that interesting, you know?
I think it's just that idea, like, that I just said, where it's, like, you know it's necessary, but it's, like, that's it. It's just, like, you need it, but...
Yeah, it's like watching a biography, and they're, like, trying to get through the more unimportant parts. Or not unimportant, mm-hmm. but, like, just not that interesting.
Yeah. It's because there's no conflict in that first half. It's just them becoming, like, a couple. Okay, that's the thing, though. Okay. I know I just brought that up and I refute my own point, but that's how rom-coms are, though. So it should work, technically. Because the conflict is will they, won't they?
Yeah.
But I guess it's in this movie, it's like pretty much like, oh, they will.
Yeah, they kind of just got together and I guess there wasn't really any doubt that they were gonna... There's no point where you're like, oh, is this gonna work out? They're kind of just flirting for a really long time on camera, almost.
Yeah.
Which is like, whatever. I don't know. I don't even like...
But with that said, though, the conflict in the second half is, I think, is really interesting.
Yes, yes. Let's get to the second half more. So, colored portion of the movie. Oh,
Colored.
What did you think of the black and white versus color thing that they were doing there?
I thought it was a good idea to separate the time periods. Because if you just look at their, like, how they look and how they dress, I don't think it was enough for, like, casual audiences, you know? Like, they're not going to look at their clothes and be like, oh, it's a different time period.
Oh, that's true.
They kind of need more of that visual
difference. True. You're right. I didn't think about that. Okay. So.
Because even, like, the way they look, too, wasn't enough. Like, they still look kind of the same between the periods, like, at the start of it.
So, the second half of the movie just, like, and the climax. Let's see what happened. I don't know. There's just,
well, it also starts with like, the whole, like, he is this like huge, like, personality, right? And he knows what he wants in his life. He wants to like make music and all this. And like, his like personal life is always like taking a backseat. And I thought the movie like did that really well. Like it feels like something you should have seen before. Like it doesn't sound original, but the way the movie did it is like, you know, you kind of like feel bad
for the wife. Yeah, I definitely felt bad. And there was that one big like he's conducting, and It's the it's like the climax. Well, I guess it is. Yeah. He's going ham.
Because it's a really long scene. Yeah,
he's going great. That's a great scene. I really like that scene.
Yeah, that's what I mean by, like, he's a really good director. Because, like, again, if you think about any other director, that scene would have been super short. It would have been, like, just like, oh, okay, that was, like, a nice scene. But no, he, like, kind of, he went for
it. And I like, you know? Well, at the end, he goes and does the thing that he did in the beginning of the movie, too. And I was like, oh, that's that's a nice little thing there happening.
Yeah.
And then... You know, I don't know. I can't really comment. Like, the story is the story because it's like someone's actual life. That's his life.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I was entertained.
I also found it interesting how, like, even though it's just a second movie, a lot of the story beats are kind of the same as A Star Is Born. But, like, on a, like, another level, though, because, like, it's actually a real life story. Yeah. And, like, you could just tell, like, oh, he had experience in that first movie, and he knows how to, like, take things to the next level this time.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. I liked it a lot. Is he going to keep directing? Like,
I mean, he wants that Oscar, apparently, so. Until he, I heard, yeah, there's a joke where it was, like, either give him his Oscar now and he can make Hangover 4, or...
We're going to get another work of art.
Torture himself. Yeah. He's going to just torture himself until he gets it.
Let's see what happens. But what would you give this movie out of 5?
It's a solid 4. I liked it.
I think I'll go... Okay, it's too good to give it just a 3. But I feel like... A 4's too high, so I have to go 3.5.
I mean, yeah, if you don't like half the movie,
yeah, the first half was,
can't give it a 4, right?
Man, it was kind of rough, but it did really pick up. So I don't know, I enjoyed it. It left me feeling good.
I didn't know Maya Hawke was in it too. Maya Hawke, like, just showed up, and I was like, oh shit!
I don't know who that is. Who's that?
Oh shoot! Never mind. Yeah, you don't watch Stranger Things.
Which one is?
She's the main daughter that was, like, always in it.
That shit, I don't know. Yeah, dude, I can't believe I just gave up on Stranger Things.
Right, anyway, like
yeah. Anyway, okay. Well, we can move on from there. Let us know what you think of Maestro. It was okay. So he's probably not gonna win an Oscar, right? Like, what is he even nominated for? Do you know?
Nah. Yeah, it's stacked this year. Well, the ones that everybody says he wants is director and actor. And probably Best Picture. I don't see why not Best Picture.
What are the Best Picture nominees? Like,
all right. How much of me did you hear?
You said the nominations, like Best Picture, Best Director, I think.
Okay, I said all of them. All right.
But, like, who's nominated for Best Picture? Like, it's always these movies that
all I have to say is this one, watched. And you're like, oh yeah, he's not getting it. He's not getting it. I'm gonna say it. Okay, watch, Oppenheimer.
Oh yeah, he's cooked, bro. He's cooked. should have backed up the release, buddy. Like, shit, it's so over. Oh my goodness. Okay, Academy Award for Best Picture. Bro, okay, well, we clearly weren't prepared for this, so we'll talk about it later. I don't know what the Best Picture nominee is, but it's not going to be Oppenheimer, so it's cooked. Okay, so let's move on to the third movie on the slate here, which is May December, another Netflix movie. I don't remember how I heard about this movie, but... Then I found out it was about the, like, a teacher-student relationship happening. And I watched the trailer and I was like, whoa. So I was very intrigued and we ended up watching it. But what were your thoughts on this movie?
Yeah. This is just really depressing, I thought.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, about these... Two, like, well, the women in particular are, like, they're not good people.
Yeah.
And then the other lead character is the victim, and it's just like, damn, this is super depressing. And I just realized that, like, that's not my kind of movie, you know? This is why I like rom-coms. It's like, there's another movie that came out, I don't know, I forget if it was last year or the year before that. It was called The Banshees of Inisherin. I think it was. I think that's how you say Inisherin. Okay. It might be Inisherin, but that's also just the point of that movie is that people are fucking awful, and I just realized like these kinds of movies like that are like not my like. Don't Look Up is another one, or it's just like, oh, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah. You know?
Like movies like these are just like, damn, like, yeah, that's not for me. But I will say that, so. Yeah, those three characters though, even though I said what I said, we're like, yeah, two of them are not good people, and then the victim is just like, damn, it's so depressing. The characters themselves are really good, mm-hmm. I guess. See, like their arcs and the movie itself is really entertaining. I don't say entertaining, but like they're really well done. Like I like that. I like movies like this where it's not really. This is what they mean by like character driven, where like there isn't really a story. It's just these are these characters, and then see them like interact with each other. What's gonna happen? Yeah,
like how their character is developing over time, because like. Yeah. The saddest part is, like, they don't even realize what they are until, like, the end of the movie. And then there's that big, like, oh, shit, like maybe this is super fucked up, actually. You know what I mean? Like, and that part is, like, damn.
I kind of like that, too. What did we watch before where we were, like, oh, it was Killers of the Flower Moon, where it's, like, oh, you don't really know, but at some point you're just, like, oh, okay. These are the bad guys. Like, you don't know when it happened, but it's just, like, you all of a sudden you just realize, like, oh.
Yeah.
But then, and this movie did that, too, where, like, I couldn't remember. I was, like, remember by the end of it, I was, like, when did I realize Natalie Portman is, like, a bad person? Like, when did that happen? You know, I was, like, yeah. It's interesting how...
Because, like, in the beginning, so, like, you don't really think that. You're kind of, like... Or maybe it was just me, but I was kind of, like, oh, like, they seem like nice people. Generally like normal, and then the rest of the movie happens and it's like, oh. Yeah, so
okay, I have a huge question, because I see a lot of people say that this movie is like a dark comedy.
How
I guess there are moments they thought was
I didn't find any of that funny.
I can see moments. Me too. I just thought it was depressing the entire time. Or like, okay, or they said it was also camp. Like
maybe the
movie is like intentionally.
Maybe the weed roof part. That
was also sad to me too, bro. Like, cause he's never able to be a teenager, so that's why and he has to like do that with his son. Like that's so sad. Like that's depressing as hell.
That part was kind of funny though. Like just the.
Like, I can see people laughing because it's, like, they're super uncomfortable, and that's how some people get through it. But, like, to say the movie is outright a comedy, or, like, a dark comedy, is just, like... I would not say
that movie was a comedy at all. Interesting.
Anyway.
That people are saying that. But, yeah. Yeah, super sad. The kids, that's the worst part, too. Like, they're all... Yeah. They did a good job, though, of, like, showing a little bit of all of them and, like, how they're kind of
dealing with
it, I guess.
Yeah. The guy, I forget his name already, but he is a really good actor.
The main guy?
Like, the main guy.
I don't know. His name in the movie is Joe. I don't know his real name. But...
Yeah, Joe. Oh, yeah, Charles Melton.
Yeah.
No, yeah, he's getting Oscar buzz right now, too. I'm pretty sure that's the main, like, what's it called? The main competition right now is between him and Downey Jr. for supporting actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, like, the best kind of acting is, like, when you can see it, like, just behind their eyes, like, that, like, something's going on. Yeah. He makes, like, pretty much, like, half the movie right there, right? Because it's, like, he just seems, like, damn, like, I feel so bad for him.
Yeah. And it did a good job of, like, exploring, you know, he had a lot of interactions with everyone around him. Like, they showed some of, like, his dad with each of his kids, almost, pretty much. But his interactions with her, like, is interesting in that way. And just very sad. But, what would you give this movie out of 5?
It's probably a 4, but again, it's not my kind of movie, so it's a 3.
Oh, so you're going...
Just like this...
Three,
it's a 3. Just like, these kinds of bleak things, just like... Damn, bro, like...
Yeah.
It's just depressing.
No, I get it, yeah.
Yeah. But it's really well done, though. Like, I get why it's getting all this Oscar buzz and hype.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go 3.5 again. 3.5 on giving out 3.5s today, but man, yeah, it just wasn't my favorite watch, but it was a good movie.
Yeah. Oh, that just reminded me. Yeah, no, the acting is like crazy in this movie because Natalie Portman has to like play an actress.
Oh yeah, we didn't even talk about her really.
Yeah, yeah, that's.
She ended up being kind of. Like, was there a good person in this movie? I don't even.
Other than there's the him. Yeah.
The kids, I guess. But damn, bro. Ugh.
No, no, yeah, that one scene with her in front of the mirror, she's like, damn. Like, and she's just acting. Yeah.
What did you think of the ending, by the way? Like.
See, that's. You know how we said, like, in Killers of the Flower Moon, ending? Is like, oh, this is just like it was reduced down to just like a radio show, like all this stuff that actually happened. I think it's just like the same exact thing. Like, that's what you're making after like all that. Mm. Like, that she's like, it's like a softcore porno, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, and again, it's like, you could like laugh out of like being uncomfortable, but like to me, that's just depressing. Like really? Like, that's, And the thing is, even more depressing, that's what actually happens. So,
yeah. That's a better put than I was like kind of like, why did they, anyway, yeah, I'll leave,
like, yeah, it's funny, but you know this shit actually happens, so
it's just kind of fucked up. So if you want to watch some fucked up shit, go watch May December.
What is she saying? She's like, feet doesn't bite, or
it's like
she has that lisp.
Yeah, I forget, but it was like, oh, it's cringe.
Don't worry, he doesn't bite. Or fuck, I forget what she says.
only got the riz out of it. That was it. Anyway, okay, let's be done with that movie. That was depressing.
I mean, all these movies are like messed up.
True, actually, they're all messed up in their own way, and I gave all of them a 3.5.
Nice.
Yeah, we had a fucked up movie list, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Let's get to the happy stuff. Let's get to our top 10 movies.
Oh, top 10. It's top celebration 10 time,
boys. It is top 10 time.
Okay.
Oh, did we both have the same idea? Is that why that happened?
No, I thought you were cueing me, and I caught on too late, so I was like, oh.
Okay.
Frick, I couldn't find one.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Okay. Top 10. Oh, gosh.
God, this is rough. It's okay. It's just the beginning of 2024. Anyway, let's recap 2023. Do you have some honorable mentions we can start off with?
Yes. How many are you giving?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4 on my honorable mentions.
Shoot. I don't like my 4.
Oh. I mean, you don't have to have 4.
They're just movies that's like, oh yeah, those are good. So like, why wouldn't they be?
Okay.
My number 13 is Rye Lane. If you remember Rye Lane, that rom com. Because you know that's just me. I like rom coms. Number 12 is Next Goal Wins.
Oh, okay.
Because funny movie, funny. Yeah. Number 11, Trolls Band Together.
Wow, not in the top 10. Kind of a
not in the top kind 10. Of, kind there of an upset. More in
so,
there.
So. I didn't number my honorable mentions. I just kind of put them here. I have Air. I have Clone Tyrone. Killers of the Flower Moon. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Those are my honorable mentions. I'm sure Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is in your top 10, but I couldn't find a spot for it. So, yes, that's where I'm at. So let's go number 10. What is your number 10 movie, Alardo?
Oh, gosh. Now that we're here, I can just feel everybody being like, oh, freak, what is this on board?
Oh, wait. We need to what sound should we use after we say a movie? Do we have a ta-da?
There's a drum roll if you want a drum roll.
Nah, it needs something like after, I'll take
before,
right?
though.
Like, What's this? Oh.
You could use that one if you wanted.
Do we not have a... We need, like, a...
No, not that one. That was funny, though. I don't think we, like, have anything like that. There's an air horn. If you want to use the air horn.
Okay, let's...
might get obnoxious after 10 times.
Let's okay. We don't need a sound. We'll just
all right. Not too much.
Okay, let's just do it. Okay. What is
number 10? Okay, don't flame me, because my top 10, The Little Mermaid, the live action. Okay, I'm a rom com guy. And I think the romance in this movie, I think the romance in this movie is really well done. I really like the original one because the idea of making somebody fall in love with you, but you can't like talk to them. I think that's super interesting. And I think the live action one does that better than the original. So.
Okay.
And there's a lot. And there's emotion at the end too, like with the relationship with their dad. And I think it's pretty good.
Okay.
That's my number 10.
All right. My number 10 is Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And it is hard carried by that tunnel scene where they're going hard and fighting everything super good. It was like one of the coolest scenes. It sticks out in my head. So another, Elardo had an idea to make like a little shortcut of all of our favorite scenes of the year. And when he asked me like what mine were, I my mind went to that. I think it's super cool. The whole movie in itself, like, I mean, it was okay. It was good, but like, the fight scenes were like awesome to me. That's why it made it to the top.
No, that's the thing. That's what I said in the episode two, where it's like, they're Marvel, right? They get all this money. They should be making stuff like that all the time.
The fight scenes really carry the movie and make it super enjoyable for me. So that's why it made its way into my top 10. So let's move. Number 9, Elardo.
Okay. Again, don't flame me after this. We're smooth sailing from here. It's The Flash. But it, like how that heart that carried you, the hallway scene, what carries The Flash for me is the everything with the mom. After I watched that movie, that's like honestly all I could think about like in terms of movies for like a while was that. Because I didn't expect it, to be honest. I expected The Flash. Like, everybody's talking shit. It was trash. And then that happened. And I'm just like, damn.
It actually kind of tugged
really well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I think that deserved to be on my honorable mention list. I'll retroactively add it there.
And it doesn't even carry it all that much. Because even the whole entire movie is just like.
It's pretty. Yeah, it's not bad.
Stupid fun, you know? Like.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with that. okay, all right. My number 9, I might get flamed for this being kind of low, but I have Barbie at number 9.
That's not even in my list.
Oh! Man, our lists are spicy.
So if you're gonna get flamed,
I thought
what's gonna happen
I
to me?
It was on your list for sure, but let me just talk about Barbie's number 9. I liked it a lot. It was a very entertaining movie. I'm Just Ken is still in my playlist and was stuck in my head for a long time. It's funny. It has something to say, and I don't know. I just enjoyed the movie. It was well made.
Very well done too.
Well made.
Yeah.
That's why I have it at number 9. Not exactly
cool.
I don't know what makes it number 9 instead of like higher for me. Or, like, why did it not make your list, I guess?
I just think all these other movies, like, affected me.
Yeah.
Like, Little Mermaid, again, the romance. The romance in the movie is really good. The Flash, again, everything with the mom.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's just, like, the way you feel, I guess, about it. But, so that's why it would be 9 for me. So, all right, this is spicy already. All right, let's get to 8. What's your 8, Eduardo? Yes.
Saw X.
Damn.
This movie blew me away because I watched all the Saw movies in preparation for this one. And all of them, The first three are pretty good because they're like some sort of like the main villain, Jigsaw. He's like this really smart guy. He knows everything that's gonna happen. That's why he makes these traps, because he knows how people work. After that, that's when it becomes like, after Saw 3, that's when it becomes like all this like blood and gore, disgusting, like, ugh,
yeah,
what am I watching? But then this movie is a prequel. It's in between Saw 1 and 2.
Oh.
And so it's about that main villain again. But he has cancer, right? And he's tricked by these like people that like act like are gonna take the cancer away from him. And then, you know, like, they chose the worst person to do that to. So the whole movie is just him getting revenge on these guys. And I don't know why they didn't think of that sooner, because it's really satisfying seeing the like people like kind of get, they always get what they deserve. Like, everybody that like gets trapped is always like some sort of bad person. Yeah. But like, this movie is like really good because he was like the main character for once, and I don't know why they didn't do that before. And it's really satisfying. The endings are always super satisfying because there's some sort of twist. But in this one, it's particularly satisfying because he's the main character. And it's like, oh, gotcha. And then, yeah, I don't know. This movie is so good. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't watch the movie.
You got to be a soft fan. Yeah. You got to be a soft fan.
I can't watch those movies, but I believe you.
They're pretty gross.
So my number 8 is The Creator, actually. Nice. I really like that movie. The relationship between the two main characters, I don't know, it just made me feel some type of way. And there's that whole bed scene that was like, damn, like, there's some lines in there that's like really hefty. And I also like the look, I guess, into what an AI type of, what's the word I'm looking, like, society could turn out to be like, potentially. Like, it's a, I think it's an interesting imaginative look at that. So I really like that movie. I would watch it again. But yeah, so that's my number 8. Okay, so we're at 7 now.
Okay, number 7. All right, now it's smooth sailing. I know Saw X was like also like a little bump, but Killers of the Flower Moon is my number 7. Because at the time, I said as a 5, it's a masterpiece. This is a movie people are going to be thinking about years, decades from now. And I still stand by it. I don't think that was recency bias. I do think this movie is one of his like most well-done movies. Like, it's a commentary also on like the stuff he did before. It's like, it's such like a, what do you say? I always say this. I don't want to sound pretentious. But it's like, it's such a distinct movie in his filmography compared to everything else. It's like, it's so, I think it's one of the greats.
Mm. Yeah, it's well done. Yeah. Let's see. I was looking at where I had it in my list. It was honorable mention. Yeah, I already said it. But
honorable mention.
Okay. Yeah. So our number 7s are a little different. I got Elemental at 7, actually.
Oh.
So
I don't. That's not in my top 10.
That's another.
Oh, imagine that. No, imagine that. That, of course it is.
I was gonna be like, how is that not in here? The Pixar guy. Anyway, but yeah, it's just a really well done animated movie. It's a nice, cute little story. I liked the world building in that movie is awesome and interesting. Even though it's like not really the main, like, the, it's not the, really the main story. I just think it's a cool setting to tell that story, and that makes it cool. Even though it's honestly not really my general cup of tea when it comes to like rom-com type things. I enjoyed it. I don't know. They made it very interesting watch for me. So that's what I got at 7.
All right, number 6. We're on
6. What's your 6?
6. All right, this is where Ninja Turtle comes in. So yeah, I think this movie is top tier, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Again, when a person has like a vision and they just like totally make it 100% that, like, you can't really like fault it, because it's just like, oh yeah, that's what they wanted to make and they made it, if that makes sense. And then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Meet Mayhem, it's clear that they had like a distinct thing in mind and they like did that to like 100%. And I just thought it was really well done. Even the story itself was really good, too. About, there's a different take on the Ninja Turtles, where it's like, they want to be, you know, they want to be teenagers, pretty much. Yeah. Like, and yeah, it's a good, interesting. And the way they act, too. The comedy is really good.
It's super
the way
funny.
They
act.
Yeah, you can tell Seth Rogen wrote it, because a lot of it is like his kind of comedy. Yeah. And yeah, I think it was just really, even the action, too, was like really good, too.
Yeah. Okay, so. Yeah, definitely belongs.
The no diggity scene also is like shit.
Yeah, I remember that scene too. It's one of the great good scenes this year for sure. Yeah, that's solid. Okay, so, so we're at six, right? So my number six is Hunger Games, actually.
Nice.
The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. I really enjoyed this movie. Honestly, before watching it, I almost forgot everything in that happens in Hunger Games, and then like it kind of jogged my memory as I watched it a little bit, and I kind of like read some of the plots of the old movies because I kind of forgot. But I think it's a really good prequel into like how it started, like
that
Snow being how he is or becoming the way that he became. And the whole like Lucy Gray thing, that was it's just such a good movie. I don't know, I honestly didn't, when I watched it, I didn't expect much, but I was kind of blown away when I finished it, so I enjoyed it a lot. Let's see. Okay, so that's six.
Okay, five. We're in the top
this
five.
This is our top five movies of 2023. Number five, Alarda.
Okay, you might have forgotten about this, but my number five is Dungeons and Dragons: Honor Among Thieves.
Oh shit! I didn't watch it.
I thought this movie was really good, because honestly, a lot of it reminded me of like Pixar storytelling, where it's like, oh, here's this world, we're not going to really explain much, but follow these characters. Usually in Pixar movies, there's some sort of heist or like prison break.
Yeah.
That's it. This movie, there's a heist. And then all the characters have like this distinct, like, each of them are like so different from each other, but they're all in like the same story together for some reason. And like Pixar does that a lot too. And also, like, they don't really make movies like this anymore, where it's like they give the filmmakers a crap ton of money, but it's a Dungeons and Dragons movie, so it's like, what? So like a lot of the scenes are like really well done, because either like there's a bunch of practical effects, or like it looks really good. And there's a lot of one takes in this movie that are like really good too. And it's just like really fun, and it reminds me a lot of like a Pixar movie, and that's probably a part of the reason why I like it so much. It reminds me a lot of Pixar.
Yeah. Oh, I should probably go back and watch that, huh? But okay, for the time being,
Chris Pine's in it.
I know. The best Chris. I remember watching the trailer and being like, I should probably watch this, but
yeah, it does look, I remember watching the trailers and being like, it looks alright, but actually watching it, I was like, oh, this is pretty good. Yeah.
Well, for the meantime, my number five is Knock at the Cabin. really good suspenseful movie, and you don't really know, like, going into it, I didn't really know what to expect or what was going to happen. But by the end, the relationships between the family was really well thought out, and really the story was told well. I had a connection with them, and just the whole premise of it is like super freaking interesting. In general, like, it's one of those things you can put yourself in, like, what would me and my family do in this situation type of thing, you know? And I really like that kind of stuff, where I can put myself there and like, how would I play this out, and then also see how they played it out, type of thing.
Yeah.
So that's what made that movie really cool for me. Number four, Alardo.
Number four. Okay, you didn't watch this one. It's called The Holdovers. Ooh. This is getting major buzz too for this year. I don't know about everybody else, but me personally, this is 100% like my kind of movie. So the reason I always say this all the time, but the reason I love rom-coms is because it's about two characters, right? And it's just about this journey that they have together, like, because they're falling in love, and it's about their relationship. Right. So like, that's also why I like Dog, the Channing Tatum one, because it's not a rom-com, but it's about, again, it's like Channing Tatum and the dog. It's their relationship, and like, that's what drives the whole movie. So The Holdovers, it's about a teacher, a student, and then the cafeteria lady, and they're holdovers. So everybody goes off for winter break, but they have to stay at the school, right? For like, they all have their own reasons for why. And it's literally just about these three characters and their lives and their relationship with each other. And it's really well done.
Hmm.
And that's like, it's 100% like my kind of movie. So
what is that on?
Nowhere. Oh. Yeah, it's still in theaters. It was in theaters here for like 2 weekends.
Oh, damn. Like, yeah, I didn't even hear about it. That's why. Yeah. So. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So my number four, is actually Bo is Afraid. That movie is crazy. Like, one of the craziest movies I've ever seen. You can't exactly recommend it to anybody, but like,
yeah, I know, yeah,
it's a unique experience and it's so crazy.
It is.
And he doesn't know what's going on and you don't know what's going on, and then it's over like that. And I loved it. I don't know. I yeah. don't know if
yeah
you can't like watch it over and over. I mean you can if you're a psychopath, but even though it's not super rewatchable, it's one of the craziest. Like, it has to be in there. It's well made.
It's super,
super
well made.
Unique. Like, yeah, I don't even know what else to say about it. It's just like one of the craziest movies I've ever seen.
You know how we're you're saying that, like, yeah, I was making like a clip, like a cut of like our favorite yeah. things for 2023. I had to go like back cuts for that movie. And I just remember, like, pausing, like, oh, I can't see that again. And I did that, like, 2 or 3 times. Like, but I want this certain part in that scene, though. But I don't want to
yeah,
see that
yeah,
again.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. There's certain shit where it's like, oh, boy.
Yo. But yeah, there's one scene where I was like, that face is in my mind for, like, a week.
Is it the mask or something? Or
no, it was his love interest.
Oh, I know what
part yeah, you're talking about. Her face was in my head for like a week. Whenever I closed my eyes,
yeah,
like,
that was pretty gross.
Like, I don't want to see that in my head, dude.
Who? I kind of forgot yeah. about that. Yeah. Oh boy. Anyway, yeah. So I mean, I'm not telling you to watch that movie if you're listening to this and you haven't watched it.
I mean, you can't like just listen to what Warren said and be like, "I'm not interested."
Yeah.
Or like what we're saying.
If you're, okay, if you're one of those people that's like, oh, there's not really anything interesting unique in the theaters anymore. They just make cookie cutter Marvel yeah. movies. Go watch Bo is Afraid and then tell me
and then have,
yeah,
that opinion.
Have that opinion
yeah.
again. Okay. Number three, Alardo.
My number three is Elemental.
Wow.
It was number three is kinda low if we're being real, but yeah. That's like it's yeah. Pixar, it's a rom com, like It was gonna be three. It was gonna be a three.
Okay. Fair enough. My number three is Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning.
Nice. See, that was one of my honorable mentions actually, but I was like, that's a given though.
But shit, yeah. I mean, Tom Cruise is doing crazy shit. Like,
yeah.
The motorcycle. He always tops himself. Yeah. It's like more crazy than the last time.
He's the last movie star. That's what everybody calls
Damn,
him.
Really? That's kind of...
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of sad, but yeah.
But the motorcycle off the cliff, mm-hmm. crazy. Super good. Yeah. Man, when he's gone, he might be the last... Like, what am I going to do without new Mission Impossible movies, bro? Like, there's nothing like seeing Tom Cruise motorcycle off a cliff for the first time. Like, I'm never going to get that feeling again, you know? But it was amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I think I said this when we reviewed it, but part of it too is like he's actually doing it, and I know he's actually doing it. Mm-hmm. Like he could actually die doing that, and it makes it more crazy to me. It really adds to the experience.
And you just know that like that's what he, it's not what he wants, but you can tell like oh I died
yeah,
doing what I love.
He
like,
loves
like
that shit.
Like,
you know,
like yeah. If I die, it'll be
exactly. Yes. Like, he died for the art of it. Like. But yeah, that's top three in my book for sure. So, okay, so we're on your number two.
So number two, we're getting there, man. Okay, you didn't watch this one either. Evil Dead Rise.
Oh, shit. Why is that number two?
I'm a huge Evil Dead fan. So I watched the original movies. I watched the show, which got canceled. What the hell? And then there was a remake. It wasn't really a remake. It was like a reboot, kind of. And then they made this movie. So there's a difference between the original movies, which are more like kind of like funny, but they're still kind of horror, but they're like kind of goofy overall. But then there's the remake, which is kind of like just straight up hardcore. It's still kind of funny, but it's more like mean-spirited than anything. That's why it's funny, because it's like the demons are like just straight up assholes. But then this movie, so this going into this movie, I was like, all right, what are we gonna? Okay, which side are you gonna take? You know, like, are you gonna be more goofy, or are you gonna be more mean-spirited, straight up horror? It kind of does like a good mix, and that's why I love it, because it's like, I know a lot of Evil Dead fans are like on one side or the other, but I kind of like both, and I thought this, like, yeah, this movie did a blending of both really well. Like, it was like really equally funny and goofy at certain points, but it was also like really like the violence was there too, and like the whole idea of centering it around a family, like, that's never been done before in Evil Dead, and I think that's genius. And yeah, so I really liked it a lot.
Those movies are too really gross, too scary for me.
Yeah.
But I take your word for it, because I watched the show with you when we were living together. Yeah. And I liked the show, even though it was disgusting.
Yeah, it was really gross.
I was kind of sad that it got canceled. But so yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Sorry. One more thing. Another underrated part in these movies is the acting. Because you see a demon just acting all crazy and goofy, and it's like hard to forget, like, wait, that's an actual like, person doing that shit.
Yeah.
But the way that you forget it, though, like, that's why it's so good. Because it's like, damn, like, this demon's like fucking batshit crazy. But like, oh, like, that's an actual actor. Like, that, I feel like that's a huge, like, underrated part.
That's true. Of, yeah, like, you don't really movies. Think of, like, that's a person.
You just think that's a demon. Like, oh my God.
So true. Damn, yeah. Okay, so my number two is Oppenheimer.
What? What's number
one? Okay, so the reason why it's
number... I want to guess.
I don't know if you could guess my number one, because...
Yeah, I know.
I think the more... now that I said it out loud, so I had... Before we started, I was debating number two, number one. But Oppenheimer is number two for me, because I will have a hard time rewatching it more than once, you know? It's not like... Like, okay, I think of other Nolan movies that I really like. Inception, Dark Knight, all the whole Dark Knight trilogy. Even, like, Interstellar, it's pretty fairly rewatchable, I'd say. But this movie, it's just so heavy and, like, dialogue heavy that it's awesome, but harder to rewatch over and over, I'd say. Well-made, interesting, loved it, got educated from it. I love Nolan's style. The ending gave me chills. Like, it's just a given, man. It's crazy good. It's crazy good. I don't have anything else to say about it.
Shit. I don't want to see my number one. I just want to think about yours.
Well, what's your number one?
My number one is Bo's Afraid, because there is nothing, absolutely nothing like that movie. Or I have nothing that I know that's like, if there's something, anything else like this movie, somebody please tell me. But yeah, I was talking about Killers of the Flower Moon, like, oh, there's not, like, that's a modern masterpiece, that's where we're gonna be talking about years from now. Bulls Afraid is so damn good, nobody's gonna be talking about it yet, but I think they'll be talking about it years from now. Like, to be honest, like, this movie is so, like, there's nothing else like it. It's insane.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Oh man. Yeah, I mean, that's deserved too. Like, craziest movie. Whew. Okay, so I put Oppenheimer at 2. I feel like
it's not Saltburn.
No,
is
it's
it?
Not Saltburn.
Okay, yeah.
Damn,
okay,
I feel either, like it's gonna disappoint you.
Did you put Next Goal Wins?
No. Kinda okay, close. Yeah.
Is it The Killer? Okay, is it The Killer?
Yeah, it's The Killer.
Okay, no, that's
okay.
Fair. It's a good movie.
Listen. when we initially reviewed it, I gave it a 4, and I enjoyed it. I didn't really have too much hype about it, but I watched it 2 more times after that.
Damn. On my own. Well, then it has to be number 1.
Yeah, that's what
one.
I'm saying. Like, I rewatched it twice, and it got better. Like, all the fight scenes.
It's a good movie.
Like, okay, first of all, his story is, I don't want to say unique, because it's definitely been done before. But it was just super interesting to me to see a modern assassin and how they operate. And especially, like, the premise that they fucked up. Like, what do you do after you fucked up? Because, like, usually in normal assassin movies or, like, spy movies, they don't fuck up. Everything's perfect.
Like, yeah, they just... And if they do, then it's like they find a way out. And it's like, oh, okay. It's
yeah, yeah. But this whole movie is like he fucked up big and he has to fix it. And each, like, killing is different. They have the little running joke with all his identities being, like, old sitcom characters. I didn't even... That went over my head until I watched it with my parents, and they told me, oh, that's a sitcom character from this, and that's a... I was like, oh, shit, I didn't realize that. But there's that. There's the whole, like, bank accounts. At, like, he's buying shit off of Amazon, like, getting in through a Postmate. Like, it's modern assassin shit. Yeah. And that was super interesting to me. And Michael Fassbender is crazy good. Big fan of him now. When he was an X-Men, I was just like, oh, okay, whatever, Magneto. But now, yeah. Next goal wins in this movie, like, big fan now. but yeah, that's the reason why it's number one over Oppenheimer.
I mean, it sounds like a number one.
Yeah, I kind of talked it up a lot. Yeah. I had my reasons. Yeah. That's why it's number one. Yeah.
That's pretty clean, though. I gotta say, The Killer is number one. That is song. You got a nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, let us know what you think about our lists. If there's anything that we left out, I already know there's some stuff you guys are gonna tell us that we left out. should we address?
It rhymes with abrupt the bribery. Or Godzilla bite his bun.
What did you say? Abrupt the biter burp?
Yeah.
Usually when you're rhyming, you use actual words, no? But.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
But anyway, tell us why we're wrong. And if you're going to say a movie that we should have put on here, tell us a movie that needs to come off and why. You can't just... So I watch a lot of basketball and... They do all-star teams every year. And people were like, oh, put this person on. But then my thing is, who are you going to take off? There's all these great players. Same thing here. There's all these great movies. Tell me what you would take off. Why should we take this? You're telling me the thing. I mean,
there are quite a few on mine that, like, people are going
to... Okay, well...
Take that shit off.
Well, I can't really help you there. But, like, you know, meet us in the comment section. What's up? But yeah, let us know. Okay. Honestly, we've been going for a while, so I feel like we should save the discussing questions for next episode, no? You cool with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we needed content for next episode anyway, so it'll be really good to go through it then. Some interesting discussion going to happen. Hopefully it's still relevant 2 weeks from now. It should be fine, right? Like the whole...
Yeah, they're all Oscar buzz. So.
Oh, true.
Probably will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All these movies.
Even better. Cool. So, let me get my plugs off then while we're here. Follow us on social media at Mixed Podcasting. Please, that's the biggest thing you can do for us. Follow us on TikTok. We are on TikTok at Mixed Podcast Clips or the Mixed Clips. Follow us on TikTok there. Follow us on Instagram at Mixed Podcasting. That's where we post updates, post reels. We also have a YouTube channel, also at the Mixed Clips. If you want, like, just single reviews segments or, like, split up segments of what we do, check that out. We're gonna pump out content this year like we've never pumped
next week out, starting next week
like we've never pumped out content before. So check it out. And yeah, if you like the live show, be sure to drop a follow here on Twitch. We do the show live here every other week. This one was kind of rough, you know. We had some time off,
you know, getting back into it.
We had to get back into it a little bit, so forgive us. I'm also a little under the weather, so we're fighting through what we're fighting through. But I don't know, the top 10 list, man, I had fun doing that. We need to do more top 10 lists, bro. Okay, and next episode, we have Echo, which is... Can you explain what that is?
Okay, it's the newest Disney Plus Marvel show.
And who is Echo, a person?
Oh, Echo is the deaf woman from Hawkeye. I don't know if you remember, but that's who she is. So
I don't.
I'm sure once you watch the show, you'll be like, oh, okay, I remember her.
And
she is Kingpin's niece.
Okay, I'll watch it. And then we have Society of the Snow, which is what again? That's that's the plane crash movie. About a plane crash, but
it came out last year, and people are talking about it. So I was interested. Because again, it's just a plane crash movie, you know, or like it's just another survival story. Yeah. They're like trapped in the mountains or something, but you know, people are talking about it, so maybe it's more than
that. Yeah, I was telling Alardo before we started recording that for some reason, like plane crash movies don't interest me for some reason generally. I don't know why. I just can't really get into it. Or like they make a lot of like shows about them too. This is a side tangent I shouldn't go into, but anyway. And then The Book of Clarence, which I don't know, or I saw the trailer.
You know remember The Harder They Fall, that Western?
Yeah.
You can't talk about that guy though, but same director.
He was in that movie. Ooh.
Yeah, he's the main, that was like the first time we saw him too, I think.
Damn, yeah, I forgot. Because there's so many good actors.
Because we were like saying it's a new Idris Elba movie, but like, he wasn't even the lead. He was the lead. That guy was.
Now he's the lead. Anyway. It's an Edge Yourself movie.
So it's same director of that.
Okay. Yeah, so we're going to do that, and then we're going to have our discussion questions, which are going to be fun. And yeah, we want to do more content that's like not just reviews generally. So look out for more of that. Shout out for Justin for stopping by and being in our chat. And shout out to you for listening. Thank you. Any last words, thoughts, opinions, Alardo?
Words, thoughts, opinions.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So that's going to do it for us on this episode, and we will see you next time on The Mix.